This is Karen Lau of Salesport Talk, and I am sitting in one of the berths with Amalia Infante from The Maiden, and we are in the San Francisco Bay sailing right now. Hello, Amalia.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
So you've been sailing with The Maiden since Sri Lanka. What has been your most memorable moment on this journey?
If I could remember one, is crossing the Pacific Ocean, the magnitude of the ocean, how big is it, and how many amazing landscape we've seen, like with the skies. And it's maybe the best thing of this experience is the women we are meeting as well, the interaction we are having from different nationalities. It's really magic, everything.
And where do you call home?
Spain. Spain is my country.
And whereabouts?
In Alicante, in Middle East.
Have you been sailing for a long time?
Yeah, well, let's say sailing is part of my life. I come from a sailor's family, and it's amazing to be now doing my passion. I'm the media person on board, so I tell the story on board. And now I have my three passions, which is the sailing, the media, and also helping with these stories to help to the girls in education.
And the Maiden Factor is a non-profit organization?
Yeah. The Maiden Factor Foundation works like an umbrella. It's an umbrella for six charities. Six charities to empower women, to help, to educate girls to change the world. That's the dilemma. And six charities, why? Because it's a way you need not only give a school, but you need mentoring programs. You need water for the schools. There are different things it's needed to cover, to ensure that education, to make more impact.
Could you, in your own language, tell women who speak your language what you would like them to know about their own power?
Tienes cualquier cosa que te propongas, si tienes un sueño, tienes que andar hacia él y que nadie te diga que no puedes hacerlo.
Thank you. Now in English.
So if you have a dream, you have to go for it. And don't let anyone to tell you, no, you cannot do it. Just keep doing it and believe in yourself. There is not an age to fulfill dreams. There is many people that start sailing with 30, 40, and they create from that a beautiful thing. So there is not a limit for dreaming. It's like we can dream until we die, you know? And we have to look for our things.
And I would agree with that.
Yeah, of course, of course. It's good to challenge yourself. It keeps you alive, keeps you young. So.
On the boat, you are handling the media, so you're having to manage cameras and balance.
Yeah, yeah, and the sailing. So I do 9 hours of sailing, plus the media. It's quite challenging in the sense that you have to maintain your equipment. Every day you have to clean it.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
All right, thank you so much for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast. And around the world on the American Forces Radio Network, 500 outlets, 177 countries, Tuesday at 9:40 Pacific. That means it is Salesport Talk, joined by Karen Lyle. Karen, nice to see you again.
It is great to see you, too.
It Rick. Must be Tuesday if you are here.
It is Tuesday.
Do you remember the movie, If It's Tuesday, It Must Be Belgium?
I'm going to actually be going to Europe in a couple of weeks, so maybe I'll say hello to Belgium when I'm out there.
Very nice. But we are thrilled, and if you're watching on Twitch, we have one webcam, and I know it's not the best. It's our one of them is broken, but you can see the lovely and talented Miss why is her? Oh, Teresa Brandner. Why does it say Bradner? I thought it was Brandner. Can we get to the bottom? It's written two different ways.
Everyone spells it wrong. It's actually Brandner, like brand new.
That's what I thought, but yeah. It says Bradner here. All right, we'll get to the bottom of this. Whoever produced this show, you are
guilty as charged. Sorry, Rick.
It's okay.
It's a common mistake. No worries.
I'm gonna take responsibility.
I love how
that.
The United States Navy used to have the rank of Commodore, but they got rid of it. But you have not gotten rid of it at the St. Francis Yacht Club. You are the junior staff Commodore. You are a very accomplished sailor. What does that mean to be a Commodore?
Commodore is an elected position at the Yacht Club, and elected by the membership. And the role of Commodore is really you're representing the membership. You're liaising with them, and you're also basically the president of the Yacht Club. And there are everything from board meetings to committee meetings. And last year I assigned we have 29 committees and 30 subcommittees, and I'm responsible for assigning those people. And also if they need kind of work direction, so to speak. It's a nonprofit, and so it's primarily run by volunteers, and then we also have a staff that full-time staff that are employees. And so to be Commodore is just you're really representing the yacht club. We had sort of a cultural shift last year, and so that was kind of fun to lead that effort. And also, we just have a tremendous. We have 2,500 members. We all love the yacht club. We all love sailing, and we do that at various levels. So it's just really being the forefront and the figurehead for the yacht club.
Well, and Teresa, now you are the junior staff, so that means that you're in the past position for Commodore. You're not
Correct.
Representing the club anymore, but you were the first woman Commodore there at St. Francis Yacht Club, and that was something that was a nice welcome addition to all the many wonderful Commodores who preceded you.
Well, that is correct. We have I think it was a 91-year history, and I was the first woman Commodore. And I have to say that kind of doesn't matter on some level, because if you're qualified, you're qualified. But on the other hand, it did start kind of the cultural shifts that I mentioned before. And interestingly enough, last weekend we christened a new race committee boat, and we named it after a former staff Commodore. It was Commodore, I think, in James Wilhite, 1950-something.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reason I bring that up is one of the staff Commodores that was there, he made a comment to me during the first staff Commodore luncheon when I was Commodore at the time last year. And he said, it's nice to have a woman Commodore, but it's also nice to have a very well-qualified woman Commodore. So he paid me a compliment. And but also the reality is there are qualifications are gender neutral. And,
yes.
So anyway, I'm very honored to have served in that role.
Well, it's good that it's a meritocracy. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Now, you got into sailing, I want to say, kind of late. I mean, you were in your mid-20s, and yet you became such an accomplished sailor. Is it kind of a double entendre that you took to it like a fish to water?
Well, I'd always wanted to sail, and it was late by modern, current standards. A lot of kids start. My daughter is 6 years old, and she got an Opti for her birthday, so starting her off young.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people raced in college, and that's the best kind of high school and college are the best times to start sailing and racing. And I kind of joke that you have to sail a dinghy well before you can sail a big boat well, and I haven't raced a dinghy, so I have a longer learning curve. But yeah, it was always a passion of mine. I always wanted to get out on the water. Unfortunately, I grew up in a landlocked state with a total of two lakes in the whole state, jokingly, in South Dakota. And so there really wasn't an opportunity to sail.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I moved to Minnesota, land of 10,000 lakes, I said, this is my opportunity. And it's unfortunate that – anyway, there's a funny story. But basically, I had a close friend whose family just bought a boat, and I learned to race on Lake Superior. And really fun experience. It was just a casual cruise, and my first reaction was to love it. My second reaction was to panic and think the boat was going to tip over and sink, not understanding the keel and the way the boat's constructed to basically – They're on a keelboat. It was a 36-foot keelboat. To stop that, the boat's going to stay upright. But being an engineer, I had to overthink it. And so very quickly took to sailing. And within a month or so, I bought a Hobie 18 and raced it or sailed it for the first time on White Bear Lake, Minnesota. And I last weekend spoke with somebody who's from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. And so it was pretty cool. Actually, that was yesterday.
And you also co-founded the Minnesota Women's Sailing Team there?
Oh, that's correct. A group of us in, I think it was 1999, we wanted to race in the Women's Rolex keelboat buoy racing. And so we all got together. We fundraised. We bought a boat. And it was J24, and the next year they changed it to J22s. But nevertheless, I think I was the treasurer for that organization. It was 20 years ago, Karen.
Well, I mentioned it. My best girlfriend lives in Minnesota, so I'm thinking about Minnesota today.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. It's on the brain. Well, anyway, so that was really fun. The sad part is the month before that regatta, I moved to San Francisco. So I had to watch online my boat that I, that I co-helped to locate and fundraise. Anyway, so then but I was in San Francisco, and I moved here so I could sail year-round, and that was the reward, and I think that was a good trade-off. I'll take that in a heartbeat. A
couple more questions for Teresa Brandner. And you move here, and you start crewing on a J-105 called the Wallowing Swede.
Walloping.
Not wallowing, hopefully.
We do wallow. We do on occasion, but hopefully less.
I feel I've been scuppered. Okay, not
that
wallowing.
That was Teresa's.
Let me put a P on that. I think it's maybe spell check does this. Walloping, Swede, but you say to yourself, I must own this boat, and you do, or you did.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny. It is ironic to have raced on a boat and then eventually buy it. It was the obvious thing to do because I had raced on a J120, which is a larger sister ship. And after getting almost pulled in the water by the spinnaker on a spinnaker douse, I realized that I wanted to get off the bow. I love 18-year bow veteran. And then I said the only way to – every time I got on a boat, they would say, oh, wait, you do foredeck. Do you know how to asymmetric or symmetric spinnaker? And they would put me right up on the front of the boat. And the only way to get off the bow was to buy a boat. So I did that. And
were you at the helm after that?
Well, not initially. At the time, I was married. And my ex-husband is a phenomenal sailor. We met in Bermuda at a regatta and has had a very kind of fairy tale-like beginning. And so we bought the boat together. And I was going to trim, spinnaker and jib trim, which I love doing. And he was going to drive. Well, as chemistry goes on a boat in a couple, the chemistry was challenging. So eventually, within a couple of months, I said, look, I want to drive. And I have a calmer temperament. And so anyway, he's still a great sailor. And but I basically pretty quickly stepped into it. And it's been 15 years now. So we've got the big boat series coming up. And I've been racing regularly in the season. And it's a great fleet. And I really like it.
I have a question about the big boat series. There's not as many big boats in that as there used to be now. I think you have, you have a 70-foot, and you have blue, which is a 46-foot, but a lot of J-boats, I think.
A lot of J-boats, and the big boat series isn't as big as it used to be. I will say that's because sailing has changed. The maxis and the sleds, years ago they all went to, I think, the Great Lakes. We have the Far 40 fleet out here, which is not even that big, but it's a bigger boat than a J-105, J-105 is about 35 feet. And I think you have to look at the culture in sailing. Bigger boats are more expensive. Smaller boats are more affordable. And there's a transition between college sailors, and they have dinghies, and those are very different than keelboats. Even a small keelboat is a lot bigger, like a J-22 is a lot bigger than a dinghy. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that sailing has changed. And so the boats are smaller. So the J-105 fleet is actually the biggest fleet. I think I've seen as many at Big Boat Series. I think we had 36 one year when we had the North Americans here in maybe 2008 or 2007. And but this year the St. Francis is trying to encourage some of the older boats to come out. So there's a classics division. And all the schooners, the older schooners, chairman of the finance committee has Mayan, that's Beau Vrolik. And Terry Klaus has Brigadoon. Some of the boats we haven't seen out there racing for a long time. And so it's really going to be great to see them out there. And
I think any size boat on the water is fun.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
You have the tides and the currents and the wind. It's all, it's all going to be the same no matter what the size is. But the challenge might be different depending upon what your conditions are.
It's all challenging. Even if it's beautiful and light wind, just to the crew dynamics can be challenging because it's tough.
What would be maybe one moment of peril or sheer terror you've had on the high seas in your time?
I actually probably think it was that spinnaker douse I mentioned earlier, and I don't know why it came up then. I haven't thought about it in a long time, but when you've got sail area of a J-120 spinnaker, but it's several hundred square feet, and but just to feel the sail going under the boat and being inside the boat, that was a little frightening. What I did, I just decided, I'm pretty good in a panic situation, and I'm like, okay, what do? I stay calm, and I'm like, okay, all I need to do is take a deep breath and hold it. And it never got to that point, but that was just kind of a scary situation.
But you never said, I'm never sailing again.
Oh, no. I became more determined. I'm as tenacious as a salmon in springtime. That doesn't slow me down. but I was actually – my mother made me paranoid about, you have to wear a life jacket at San Francisco Bay. And I was worried about the hypothermia thing. So right away, I think my first big boat series, I said, okay, I'm going to overcome my fear. And so I said, okay, I want to know what it feels like to fall in this water. So I stripped down in my bikini, which I sail in every time to this day. And I looked at my crew behind me and I said, okay, who's in? I'm going to dive in. And they all said, yeah, let's go. And then I climbed up on the pulpit actually, just to dive in, they're like, well, you're not serious, are you? I'm like, of course I am. So a couple of them actually – anyway, so I just dove in the water and kind of conquered my fear. And anyway,
it was, how horrifying was that to go into freezing water?
Well, I have Finnish heritage, so cold water doesn't scare me.
Well, okay. And also my sister used to swim the, you know, with the South Enders, right? I think it is the swimming group that goes from Aquatic Park to Alcatraz, and they swim,
basically
in the cold water with
without wetsuits.
Yes, without wetsuits. Wow.
Does the Dolphin Club do that too?
They do. Yeah, they're competitors. Okay. Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, we have been with Teresa Brandner, and for people who want more information on you, they should go where?
I don't have a website.
Okay.
Well, they go to salesporttalk.com.
There it is. That's
because
the answer.
Because every guest that we have here has a web page that has been set up with their names.
So just go
and the great thing is people know that this was live radio, obviously, too, which is fantastic. Anyway.
Obviously.
And live Twitch.
Live Twitch as well. Yes, yeah. There she is the whole time. We've had one camera on Teresa. Thank you so much for coming in. It was great meeting you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Karen, next week, you want to do it again?
I think so. I think we're in for it.
All right. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.